Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's pray. Father, now as we give our attention to your word, I trust that your spirit would use it in our hearts to make us who you want us to be. Father, we confess to you that this process of growth as a follower of Jesus Christ will never end until we get to heaven. And therefore, we always face the challenge of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we think about that this morning, as we are challenged out of this great little book, I pray that your spirit would empower us to proclaim your word, but more than that, to receive it and live it for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is full of responsibilities that you and I have toward each other. Responsibilities I have to you, responsibilities you have to me. Responsibilities that you have to the person to your right, responsibilities to the person to your left, and they to you. Responsibilities to the person in front of you, the person behind you, and they to you. We call those responsibilities the one another's of Scripture, and there are many. For example, we have the responsibility to love one another. That's repeated time and time again on the pages of the New Testament. I have a responsibility to love you. You have a responsibility to love me. You have a responsibility to love those around you. Sometimes I'll hear people say, well, I'm going to love them, but I'm not going to like them. Now, if you give that any thought at all, you'll find out that that makes no sense. And I can prove it to you. Husbands, when you go home this afternoon, look your wife in the eye and say, honey, I love you, but I don't like you. See how your Sunday meal goes. We have the responsibility to love one another. We have the responsibility to comfort one another. I have the responsibility to comfort you and you, me, and those in the body. We have the responsibility to bear with one another. When there is someone who is needed to come alongside, the responsibility that the church has, every member of the church, is to come alongside those who need it. We have the responsibility to care for one another. It's not optional, it's a responsibility. It's a command. I'm to serve you, you're to serve me, we're to serve each other. We have the responsibility to encourage one another. When you come to Emmanuel Baptist Church, my responsibility is to encourage you. Your responsibility is to encourage me. You're to encourage the person on your left and your right, in front of you and back of you. You get the gist of what I'm saying. These are responsibilities every believer has with every other believer. There are also some negative one another's. The New Testament says, don't devour one another. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means totally, but it doesn't sound very good, so just don't do it. The Bible says, don't envy one another. Obviously, that breaks the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments, but we're not to have an envy for each other, for each other's talents, for each other's treasures, and so on. And here in James chapter 4, verse 11, there's another negative one another. He says, do not speak evil against one another. Now the verb to speak evil is talking about critical speech. It's talking about derogatory speech. It's talking about untrue speech. Gossip would fall under the umbrella of this verb. Slander would fall under the umbrella of this verb. We may use the vernacular and say, don't run someone down with your mouth. Or the one that I'm going to use this morning, don't badmouth another brother or sister in Christ. Numbers chapter 12, we have the story of the people of Israel 2 to 3 years out of Egypt, led by Moses. They've just spent a significant time at Sinai, where they received the law, where Moses went up on the mountain and actually communed face-to-face with God. And God gave him the laws for the people, gave him the instructions for the tabernacle and so on. And as they leave Sinai and hit the road to wander for some more, there's a family squabble in the leadership family. Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam are tired of being in the shadow of their brother, probably their younger brother. In fact, if they were to talk to you, they would probably say something like this: "Everybody loves Moses." It looked better on here than it did when it came out. So they began to grumble, and they began to badmouth Moses, especially his sister Miriam. She didn't like who he had married, and she used that as an excuse to say, "Why is it that God only speaks to Moses? Why doesn't he speak to the rest of us as well?" Well, God wasn't too pleased with them, called them all into the tent of meeting, chastised them. In fact, Miriam breaks out with leprosy, and God says this: "With Moses I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The verb "speak against" is the same one that James uses in James chapter 4. Another illustration from the same book, Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites had been wandering now for almost 40 years. Those who had grumbled at the very beginning, those who had doubted that God could bring them to the promised land, most of them were gone, not all of them. The land of promise is in sight. They have one more trip to take, and they're going to head there. But something happens. Numbers 21, verse 5, "And the people spoke against," same verb, "the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Well, you know the rest of the story. You've heard it many times. What is described as fiery serpents were sent among the people. Poisonous snakes where if they bit you, you would die. And of course, that brought a rather quick confession. It certainly would with me. If God wanted to use snakes to discipline me, I would say I'm sorry really fast. And so did they. Numbers 21:7, "And the people came to Moses and said," listen, "we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." Same verb. "Spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the servants from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The result of that prayer, if you remember, was that he erected on a pole a bronze serpent, and those who looked to it by faith were healed. A beautiful Old Testament picture of what Jesus Christ would someday do on the cross. The glorious gospel illustrated here in the book of Numbers. Well, in both cases, they badmouthed God. They badmouthed Moses. They paid the price. You're all aware, of course, of the death of Robin Williams by suicide recently. Very tragic death. A lot's been written about it. I found interesting a comment from Jay Leno when he was asked about his friendship with Williams, and he said this, and I quote, "What I liked about Robin is, as big a star as he was, he never badmouthed people." Now, I don't know if that's true. I can't verify it, but certainly that's a pretty good eulogy, is it not? Well, James says in chapter 4, in the church, don't do it. And by extension, I think he would agree, in the community, don't do it. You're a distinctive people. You're the people of God. The people of God shouldn't badmouth. That's the gist. It's simple. Believers don't badmouth. If you're doing it, stop it. That's the verb that he uses. Now, by this time in our journey through James, you probably realize that the tongue is a serious issue among believers. Controlling our tongue is a serious issue. Now, why do I say that? Well, he's dealt with it in every single chapter. Look back with me. We'll do this real quickly. Chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Down to verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Chapter 2, verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. We put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us. We guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And he continues on with that thought. We come to chapter 4 and we have our passage this morning. If you look for just a moment at chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another, brothers. Now, this is a short book, only five chapters. In all five of the chapters, James addresses the tongue. What's that tell us? It's that James recognizes the control of the tongue is a serious problem in the church. It's a serious problem among believers. You may be saved, and hopefully you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but the most difficult area for you to bring into Christ-likeness is that area about 1 inch below your nose, your tongue, your mouth. And so James addresses it again and again and again and again. Well, with these verses, verses 11 and 12, I'm going to use a simple outline. Actually, it's a classic outline. What I mean by that is that the outline in general has been used years, and it's been used for centuries on these verses. So I'll just add my own flavor to it, but you'll see that it's very simple. It answers the question, why is bad mouthing wrong? You've told us not to do it. Now, why is it wrong? Number one, bad mouthing reveals your attitude toward others. Bad mouthing reveals your attitude toward others. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil, and so on. We immediately notice a change in whom James is addressing. When we were back in the previous verses, in verse 4, he said, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is to be an enemy with God? Down to verse 8, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He uses some strong language here. But we get to verse 11, and three times he uses the word brothers. Brothers. Now, ladies, lest you think that lets you off the hook, when the Bible uses the word brothers, it's including sisters as well. The best translation when we find that would be believers. And so to brothers, to sisters, to believers, to the church, don't badmouth. Don't slander others. Don't gossip about others. Don't run down others. Now, this isn't new. This isn't new to the message of the Bible. Leviticus 19:16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. From our scripture reading this morning, Psalm 50, you give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Perhaps he had in mind some of what he heard from his half-brother Jesus, Matthew 15:18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Now, why is it wrong? Now, why is it wrong, James? He tells us, bad-mouthing others before God is judging others. It's judging others. Again, verse 11, do not speak evil against another brother. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. In other words, bad-mouthing others is judging others. You've set yourself up as the judge declaring the verdict on your brother or your sister in Christ. You see, you can't badmouth others and edify them at the same time. You can't badmouth others and love them at the same time. You can't badmouth others and encourage them at the same time. The truth is, as soon as we badmouth someone else, we've declared in our heart, I'm better than that person. Whenever we badmouth someone, we've declared in here, just so you know, I'm much better than that person. Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful, it's desperately wicked. And every time I badmouth someone else, every time you badmouth someone else, our hearts, whether we know it or not, are filled with pride. Filled with pride. Something else. When we badmouth others, it is a time when we're least like Jesus and most like the devil. Let me say that again. When we badmouth others, when we badmouth a brother or a sister in Christ, it's a time when we're least like Jesus and we're most like the devil. Peter says this about Jesus. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. That's who he was. The devil, on the other hand, what does his name mean? His name means slanderer. That's what the devil's name means, Jesus told us. John 8:44, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He is a liar and the father of lies. So, when we badmouth others in the church, even outside the church, when we badmouth, we're least like our Savior and we're most like the devil. That in itself should make us want to cure that in us. Secondly, badmouthing reveals your attitude toward the Scriptures. Reveals your attitude toward the Scriptures. Again, verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, when James uses the term here, law, he's talking about all of Scripture. He's not just talking about Torah. He's not just talking about the writings of Moses. He's including here the whole Bible, the Word of God. What does the Bible tell us? Well, the second greatest commandment, you know what that is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's pretty hard to love your neighbor as yourself if you're bad-mouthing your neighbor. You're not going to bad-mouth yourself, so you've already broken that commandment. And, of course, James 4:11 begins with, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. When we badmouth, we're essentially saying, I know the Bible says this, but. I know the Bible says this, but. In fact, truth of the matter is, we can get very creative in badmouthing so that it doesn't quite sound like we're badmouthing. We say things like this. Now stop me if I'm wrong, but. Or, I don't mean to be critical, but. Perhaps I shouldn't say this about her, but. I have a prayer concern that I'd like to share with you about him. Let's just keep that between us. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. When we say those things in God's eyes, we're speaking evil against the law. We're judging the law. In other words, when I badmouth a fellow believer, or anyone else for that matter, I'm saying that my opinion, my judgment, trumps whatever God said in His Word. I know God said this, but, so don't do it. But it gets worse. Number three, bad-mouthing reveals your attitude toward God. Bad-mouthing reveals your attitude toward God. The one who speaks against the brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. Now, what's the gist of what James is saying? I think you can understand it. Only one can judge the heart of people. Only one has declared the law. And it ain't you. That's what James is saying. It is God who is the one and only judge. Saw that this morning in Psalm 50. Abraham asked in Genesis 18, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" A great verse out of Isaiah 33. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us." I think what James is saying is here, what he just said. And he clarifies it. He says he's the one who can save and destroy, probably echoing the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Who is that? God the Father. So what James is saying in this verse, the beginning of verse 12, is that when we badmouth someone else, when we judge someone else, we're taking to ourselves a prerogative that is only God's. We're taking to ourselves a prerogative that doesn't belong to us, it only belongs to God. And that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? Very dangerous place to be when we decide to take things that are only God's prerogative and take them to ourselves. Illustrated in the book of Daniel, in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar one day had been warned by Daniel, "Listen, you need to curb your pride. You need to understand there's a God in heaven who's responsible for all that you have." The Bible says one day Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace and he looked out at the city of Babylon and he says, "Man, isn't this city great? And I'm the one who built the whole thing." Taking to himself the prerogative that was only God's. The Bible says immediately God struck him. Same thing happens to Herod in the New Testament, Acts chapter 12. He went someplace and he gave a speech, and the people said, "Man, that speech was good. He's just like God." And Herod puffed himself up and said, "Yes, just like God." And the Bible says immediately God struck him. Listen, when it comes to me and God, it comes to you and God, it's not even close. It's not even in the ballpark. And what James is saying, when we judge, when we badmouth, we are taking to ourselves things that belong to God, a dangerous place to be. So don't do it. Number four, bad-mouthing reveals your attitude toward yourself. Bad-mouthing reveals your attitude toward yourself. Verse 12. "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy." Then he asks the question, "But who are you to judge your neighbor?" In other words, James is saying, what kind of estimate do you have of yourself? Who do you think you are? Do you really think that you're better than somebody else? That's what he's asking, that last question. You know, in the human race, there isn't good, better, and best. There just isn't. The only time we see good, better, and best is when we compare ourselves to each other. And that's not the comparison as followers of Jesus that we're supposed to use, is it? The Bible says, you shall be holy as I am holy. Try that one on for size. There's your comparison, not with each other. Last week we saw the verse, humble yourself, therefore, before the Lord. That's what James is saying. You need to humble yourself. Who do you think you are to judge and badmouth someone else? True story out of Orlando, Florida. A little boy named Andrew was showing a neighbor his kindergarten class picture. And he said to his neighbor, this is Robert. He hits everybody. This is Stephen. He never listens to the teacher. This is Mark. He chases us, and he's very noisy. And then he pointed to his own picture, and he said, and this is me. I'm just sitting here minding my own business. You know, Andrew is quite often a lot more like me than I want to admit. The truth is, if it was not for the life-changing grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, I would have no chance at changing. No chance whatsoever. The only chance of change is because He can change me, not because I can change me. And so I flee to Him and I plead with God, change me. Change my mouth. Sterilize my mouth. Save my mouth. Sanctify my mouth so that my mouth and the words that come out will bring glory and honor to you. Well, what are we going to do when we open our mouth? If bad mouthing is forbidden, and it is, Pastor Dave, what do I talk about? You know, I thought about that this week. What would our culture listen to if bad mouthing was outlawed? What would the talk shows do if bad mouthing was outlawed? What would the television news channels do if bad mouthing was outlawed? Well, it is outlawed for you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't do it. So what do you do? What do we do? Here's what you do. You edify one another. You build each other up. If you don't think there's someone here this morning that needs a little encouragement, a little bit of building up, you're living in isolation. You edify one another. We encourage one another. You encourage your brother and your sister in Christ by using words. You consciously come into church on a Sunday morning and you say, Lord, put words of encouragement in my mouth that I might encourage a brother or a sister in Christ. Your mouth becomes a dispenser of grace and mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Can you do it? Yes. With God's help, you can. Is it easy to break the habit? No. No. It's going to take a lot of submission to Jesus Christ. Is it mandatory? Yes, it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and wasn't a difficult word today. But Father, in all of our lives, at some point or another, our tongue has been out of control. Our tongue has been used in a way that does not magnify Jesus Christ, does not reveal that we are the children of Jesus Christ. And so we found in this marvelous epistle, the epistle of James, that he addresses it time and time and time again. And Father, this morning he's challenged us to not badmouth brothers and sisters in Christ, and by extension, not to be a people that badmouths anybody. And so, Father, I would pray that you would help us to be that people through whom Jesus is revealed by the words that come out of our mouth. As people listen to us, they can say, they don't talk like everybody else I know. It's almost like they're not of this kingdom. They're part of a different one. And Father, when they ask us why we speak different, we'll have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And so, Father, we'd ask that you would indeed sanctify our mouths. May they be vessels that you use to encourage others and to share the love of Christ. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing the hymn, Higher Ground. It's number 399 in the hymnal. The words will be on the screen. Let's stand together.